There is a name I love to hear, I love to sing. It's worth it, it sounds like music. Because he first loved me.
Brother Robert Turner, Lord be with you, Brother Robert.
Can you imagine standing outside the fire and looking in and say, I believe I see the Son of God?
Okay.
To have the experience of standing outside the fire and looking in what you would consider hell itself.
Yep.
And say, Lord, I think I see Jesus. I can't even imagine that. I just find that story so remarkable that it's just a moment in time where you just, your mind goes. Then we have a lot of thoughts and we think we know. You know, I often wonder about heaven. You know, have you ever sit and talk about what heaven's going to be like? You know, I can remember sometimes sitting in a river on a boat and got your fishing line dropped in there and you reel back. You don't want the fish to bite because you don't want it to bother you. And you're just sitting there in the boat, you know, with your line in the water and thinking, man, this is what heaven's going to be like. You know, and the frame of mind there is peace. I mean, that's the frame of mind, you know, because we all think we have this idea what our peace is going to be, you know, but it's indescribable. I could not, there's no way I can tell you. But my frame of mind is, it's going to be wonderful.
Amen.
It's going to be wonderful. I thought about, you know, a lot of things last night. We stayed up late and talked and had a great time. And a lot of things come across my mind, but I often think about what we know. What do we know? You know, I spoke last night on Jesus in us, but what do we know? You know, what do we bank on? You know, what do we hold on to? You know, we have a belief, we have faith. You know, I like to feel sometimes I'm patient. My wife will tell you I'm not, but I like to feel sometimes, you know, and I'm waiting on the Lord, you know, but I'm ready. I'm ready, you know. I don't need a life-threatening experience to say I'm ready. And I feel like when it comes, it's going to be so wonderful. It's going to be like the heaven that I can't see. It's just going to be great. But I know people who fear it, who fear the coming of the Lord, because they don't know what you know. They don't understand what you know. They don't feel what you know. You know, we're blessed to know what we know. And I'm going to read in John, and if he really talked 1 John, he really talks about what we know, what we can bank on, what we can hold on to. You know, in the world today, if you want to look, go with me, go to 1 John chapter 5. And I wasn't going to start here when I was sitting there thinking about this, Brother Jamie, but since you brought up the word witness and it just kind of fell all out of me right here. It says, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. Mm. For this is the witness of God, which he had testified of his Son. Think about that for a moment, you know. You know, the witness of men is something, but the witness of God is greater. And he testified of his Son, you know. And he believed on the Son of God, had the witness in himself. He that believed not on God have made him a liar, because he believed not the record of God gave to his Son. And then it goes right, and this is where you can start banking your money. This is where you can start putting your money in it. It said, and this is the record that God has given us to eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Bank on it. That's what we know. It's all in Jesus.
Amen.
It's all there. Jesus is the all in all. So don't let anybody else try to convince you of anything else. You know, most people try to convince you it's some sort of works, you know, but it's not in works. It's of Jesus. It's all in Jesus. And the record, you know, and he that have the Son have life.
Right.
And he that have not the Son have no life. Think about that. And brother Jamie mentioned about, you used to see it, when you really focus in on where your life is, it's not riding up the Shenandoah Valley looking at them, and they're beautiful. And I know that's, but my life, your life, is in Jesus. And when you concentrate your life in Jesus, it seems like the whole world just kind of falls into place. And everything that's around about you has come to a peaceful situation. The situation doesn't change. We still have sickness and death and all these things in the family, the whole family law, you know. But when you really focus on in Jesus, where your mind is, Brother Jamie, this is what got me on this verse right here. Where you put your mind, you know, we need to spend a little more time in Jesus. Spending time, you're not looking at what's our situation, what's going on in the world, but spend more time in Jesus. Because I know when I'm in Jesus and when I'm thinking of Jesus, I get an inner rest, an inner peace that I can't get in the world.
Amen.
It's different, you know. I get a good night's sleep and lay down and rest. You know, people at home, they know I travel a good bit. I'm gone all the time and I'm on the road a long time. And they'll ask me, you know, say, how do you do it? You know, you work a full-time job. You work 40 hours. You pastor two churches and you're busy all the time and you're on the road. How do you do it? I said, because my rest comes in the service. In the service of the Lord. It's called work to some people, but to me it's rest. It's a place of rest and pleasure. It gives me so much pleasure to rest in peace. It gives me so much pleasure to hear the gospel preached. Because you know what? When I'm hearing the gospel preached from a preacher that's getting the message directly from God and delivering it to me, the tears are rolling down my face. There is no sweeter peace in the world than that. On this side of the grave. And when we get to the point in life that we say, we know that in Jesus we have eternal life. We understand that. So, you know, the biggest fear that most people have is about dying.
Yeah.
You know, they spend their entire life trying to stave off death. You know, if you don't believe that, turn your TV on and watch the commercials on the stuff they want to sell you to make you live longer. You know, when the Bible tells you got 70 years plus, you know, that's it. That's, you know, God can add to or take away. It doesn't matter how many pills you take or how many exercises you do. It doesn't matter. 70 years is your reign. You know, but God Himself can give you more or take away. And when you have the frame of mind in Jesus and you understand that He's in control and that's where my peace is, this is where I live, you know, I don't care. You know, the reason why I say that, I'm 69. My next birthday, I'm 70. So I'm thinking, okay, it's thumbs up for me. You know, I'm gone. You know, I've done my set, my stretch, you know. It's time for somebody else to take hold and move in, you know. But think about it, how God said, in Jesus, you know, you have eternal life. In Jesus you have this. He said, and these are the things that I have written unto you that you believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. What about that? By believing in Jesus, you may know that you have eternal life. So why are we worried about death door? You know, it's like somebody told somebody one time. I heard somebody tell me, he said, everything's a victory. You're going to die and pay taxes. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to pay taxes most of the time, but I guarantee you're not escaping the death, the carnal death, the body. I said, but in Jesus, I'm going to live on. You know, and I know that. You know, and I'm not being brash, and I'm taking the word of John right here and telling you right now, I know this is true. You know, that I have eternal life because I believe on the Son of God. You know, a lot of times I might not act like I believe it, but I'll tell you right now, when push comes to shove, if he walks in this door back here, I'm going to run over you getting to him. You won't beat me there because I believe in him and I understand. And I realize that my hope is in him and my peace is in him and the rest of it's just bunk. That's all it is. Don't anybody try, you know, people try to fool you with what they think. But Joel Johns says, I know. This is something he knows. You know, and we need to stand on it. I often thought about that. Come boldly to the throne of grace. You know, I thought about that a lot. I said, you know, and I see a lot of people that kind of meekly got walk in and meekly, you know. But it says, come boldly. I said, you know, what's wrong with us? Why don't we walk in with the boldness of what we have in our belief? You know, I understand, you know, but when you come boldly to the throne of grace, that means you walk in with your head up. You held your head up. I know and understand. I know that if the Lord comes in here and blesses us today, I will hear preaching. And I know that if He blesses with preaching and He opens up my ear, I know I'll hear preaching today. What I know, these are things that I know that He said that I'm going to have. And this is a confidence that we have in Him. Think about that. He's talking, and I'm not trying to be bold or rash here. I'm just telling you, a lot of times in our life, we might walk meekly to the earth because we've downtrodden, because we let the devil, who is a liar, try to tell us something different than what John is telling us right here. That you've got to, that he's not going to. You know, that I've heard people that say, well, you ask of him and he'll give you. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, I used to think that without changing my mind. Well, yeah, if I ask of God, he'll give it to me, you know. And then I read this right here over and over a couple of times. This is the cup of the head. And we know that if we ask anything according to his will, he hear of. And the part that I missed right here was his will. You know, we're busy. I'm telling you, we'll get down and pray for a lot of things. And we'll pray earnestly, pray for that. But we don't got to think about what he said. This little word right here, he said, his will. You know, that's the difference right here. I mean, I can pray for the lottery win when I get out today and win the lottery, you know. But is that his will? You know, and I'm going to hold him accountable because I didn't win the lottery, because I know that he can make me win the lottery. I understand that. But it's more, there's a confidence right here that we pray according to his will. You know, and where do you find out where his will is? You've got to take this book right here, these words right here. This is the will of God right here. This is your life right here. This is the way you live right here. This is all you need to know right here. This is the will of God. And his will of God is the Word of God. So when you pray and you ask of God, you do to pray his will. I know in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus prayed, he prayed to take this cup from me. He didn't want to go through what he had to go, but he ended it at, but thy will be done. You know, and when we all get in the frame of mind that we pray, thy will be done. And you know, but our problem is we've got to really accept that, well, maybe it's not going to come the way I thought I was going to have it. You know, have you ever had people pray to God and ask God for something and put conditions on it? You know, put a condition, well, God, if you'll do this, I'll do that. You know, it don't work that way. You know, God is not not conditional. God is God, and God is Word is Word, and His path is straight, and His path is true. And you know, you got to pray His will. According, you know, so when you're down on your knees, I know old Paul was talking about the thorn he had in his side. You know, he prayed to God, you know, take away this thorn in my side. You know, old Paul, he carried a lot of baggage with him. You know, he was touched by God and moved of God to do things, but yet he carried a lot of baggage. And you and I carry a lot of baggage also in our life. And I've done things in my past that I'm totally ashamed of. And I've done things that I sure wish I hadn't done. If you ever gone to yourself, I wish I hadn't done that. I wish I could have changed that, whatever. You know, old Paul was in that moment. He'd take this thorn away from myself. And God said, my grace is sufficient. That's sufficient. You know, we get in that frame of mind. You know, that we can't move on because we're letting something in our past destroy our forward movement, you know. And God, and you're praying to God, you know. And you're putting conditions on God on what I need to do. And God said, my grace is all you need. Walk on, you know. And then when you start taking hold of this grace, you know, this grace of God, none of us deserve eternal glory. There's nothing that we do that can deserve. I said, but he chose. He made the choice before the foundation of the world. I had nothing to do with that. It don't matter what I do on this earth. You know, I can't work my way in up there, and I can't work my way out up there. It's all in the hands of God in Jesus. He said that we bear witness. He says, my grace is sufficient. The world today doesn't understand what we see and what we think, because we understand our strength, our hope, our praise, our honor is all in Jesus. That's all we have. We have nothing else. One, you know, I've done it. You've done it. I'm sure, you know, when you hit your head, you say, "Holy Jesus," or say, "Oh, you know, pray." You know, well, you know, this is the praise that Jesus has. He's there all the time, and His grace is sufficient, you know. So we have to learn to live with the will of God, and you're going to live with it whether you like it or not. You know, that's just absolute, you know, that you're going to live in the will of God. But the thing that I'm talking about, to have the peace and understanding, Jesus Christ, we have to keep our eyes focused on Jesus. And this is where your rest comes. What did Jesus say? "Come unto me, I'll give you rest." You know, God is taking care of everything, and Jesus is giving you the rest. You know why He's giving you the rest? Because He's done it all. He bore your sins. He carried it with Him to the cross. Not only that, He said, you know, "The work is finished. The work is over with. It's done, Father." Not what I like, the next statement that I like is, "Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing." You know, and most of us are that way. But I come back to this verse right here, and I go back here and say, "I know. This is what I know. I can hang on to this greater than anything I can hang on to. Because I have an awfully strong enemy that comes in and tries to rob me." I tell people this all the time. I said, you know, Satan's been tried, convicted, and sentenced. It just hadn't been carried out. And the only power he's got is trying to rob you of your rest. You know, he has no power over you. He has no strength over you. But he can just put that little quote in your mind, you know, and kind of drive you around and make you think, "Well, I'm not good enough." He said, "Boldly come through the throne of grace." And then he goes, "My grace is sufficient." And he says, you know, you know these things. We have eternal life. What's 70 years here on this side of the grave compared to eternity with God? Well, what is it, you know? We need to look at things a little differently, you know. Everybody's caught up in life and death and dying and moving on, you know. And some people dread it. And it's so wonderful, Gary, that the brother is standing there in that frame of mind. That is ready to go on. I've heard Elder Mintz in his time, you know, he look at me and say, "Brother Rod, I'm ready to go." Well, are you ready to go? I'm ready to go. You know, I'm healthy, I'm strong, the Lord has blessed me with good health and all that, but I'm still ready to go, you know, because I know I have life eternal in Jesus. I understand that, and I'm going to hang on to that, and that's my strength in my time of need. That's the courage in my time of need. That's everything that I need. Brother Danny, I mean, he said, you know, we don't know nothing, really. It's all in Him. But old John's telling us right here, he said, "I know this. Do you know that? Do you understand?" He said, "If you believe in Jesus Christ, you got it, brother. It's yours." Thank you for your kind attention.
What's the second verse, brother?